Right now in the studio, we got a lot of sunshine because Betsy Bowen has just walked in and sat down. And Betsy, of course, such a well-known artist, creating books for children, you know, her own artwork. And, of course, I think a lot of the things that we look forward to in Cook County, Betsy started, Ann.
That's probably so true.
Solstice party or the co-op concept that has now become a major food store here in town. And it started out in Betsy's mind. So very creative individual. Betsy, welcome back to the Roadhouse.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure.
I almost forgot to put your mic up, but luckily I just did in the nick of time. Great to have you here. And you've got another book out now in collaboration. And I should have written down, the person who wrote the text or actually wrote the book, name is Phyllis Root.
Yes, and Phyllis is a well-known writer based in Minneapolis. She's done lots of books for children. One that we might have seen around here is called If You Want to See a Caribou.
Okay.
About the Slate Islands, and was illustrated with woodcuts by Jim Meyer.
Okay.
Quite a nice book.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, I took a close look at the book, and especially at the artwork, but I was, this is a children's book, yet it seems as though the writing is more aimed for an older child, I would say, like me, because you can learn a lot about, it's called The Big Belching Bog, and it's something that I know a lot about because of my early history fishing brook trout and just wandering through the woods. And the bogs are a place where a lot more happens than most other parts of the woods.
Well, I learned a lot. My goodness, I got a you know, fresh pair of tall rubber boots and I had a couple of good tour guides. Mike Shalmeski was one of them. Mm-hmm. Took me on a long walk in the, you know, swampy, wet, gushy places, and we picked cranberries and you know, listen to the sound of that little frog that's there. It sounds like a duck, and birds. And I kept going out periodically through the season that I was working on the book and saw some orchids and pitcher plants. And oh my gosh, I learned a lot about bogs.
Yeah, there's some major bogs here in the county that are, they're just wild. And it's a easy place to get lost. You better keep your bearings if you're going to go walking in a swamp here in Cook County.
Yep, if you have a cloudy day, it's tricky.
It's a little tricky, yeah. But there's a lot happening, a lot of bird life, a lot of animal life, and it's a great spot to have a book about, really, because it is such an interesting part of our community. And I mentioned about the style of the writing. It's not really something that maybe a three-year-old is going to pick up and enjoy. What kind of target audience was there for this book?
Well, that's a good question. I've described it, when people have asked, as a poetic natural history. And I think it does have a nice way of putting a little mysterious storyline in there. You know, if you go to the bog, you must be very quiet because you may hear something. You may hear the big bug belch.
But it never says that till towards the end.
It's but it gives a little sense of the mystery, which I think is nice. You know, it's not overbearing on facts and figures or anything, but there's a nice compendium about those things. So I would think that elementary school age kids would be really good. As I was working on it, I thought that, I hope that when they get to the end of the book, there's a little voice that says, "Daddy, can we go to the bog?"
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Yeah.
I want to hear that belch.
Yeah, but, to get people outside, especially young people.
Yeah. Now, what did you got the text from Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start out? How do you visualize? Do you work together as far as what's going to be on each page for text, and then you start working on the artwork?
You know, interestingly not. Phyllis and I didn't have a direct conversation about it. Mm. We worked through the editor, Todd Orula, who's part of University of Minnesota Press, and I've worked with him on several other books. And I think Phyllis may have also. I can't quite remember now. But and he's very enthusiastic about the regional work. And we had, before we ever pinned this down, like a couple of years before even, we, you know, he approached me about the idea, would I be interested, you know, was I into bogs? Sure, I said. but Phyllis and I had talked other times about the idea of doing a book together for over the last 10 years or something, maybe. And so it seemed like a good fit. So I got the manuscript then finally from Todd and read through. And I also, another one of my great helpers was Chell Anderson, who was kind enough to read through and comment on those natural history things that she knows so very much about. And so then I kind of had free rein at least to get started. You know, Todd's been very nice editor that way and very willing to let me just say, well, here's some thoughts I have. What do you think about this? You know, because I like to think up that whole look. So I then did a bunch of sketches, more research, and then make what's called a dummy book. So I'll print out the text and kind of try cutting it up on pages, paste it actually in this, you know, simulated book with however many pages. In this case, it's 40. And then send that off in a rough, pretty rough form, you know, but with some idea of what the content would be on each page. Like, okay, this is going to be moose and caribou. This is pitcher plants. This one is something else. And then send that back to Todd. And then he might send that back to Phyllis, too. And then I would get some comments back, get it back, keep on refining it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you also mentioned that you did a lot of research. You got out there
to get a
feel for what the colors are, what the light's like.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be reflected in the final product for sure.
Oh, good. Well, thanks. I'm kind of intuitive. I guess, which is why I ended up being the artist, not the scientist. And so just that experiential sense of things is really valuable to me.
And folks out there should know that the type of illustrating you do is a lot with woodcuts, and that might be mm-hmm. something that not everybody knows how that happens. I'm always fascinated by how you keep them backwards in your mind and then frontwards on the page. So I can't get beyond that one.
I am totally with you, Buck. I have no clue.
Can you tell folks a little bit about that process and how mm-hmm. you do that in your mind?
Yep. Although I should say that this book isn't quite the same as the other ones I've done in the mm-hmm. woodcut process. But the woodcut process that I've done the most of in the last, say, 25 years is a process of carving the design into a plank of wood. I use the local pine. And then if you think of a rubber stamp, it's a little bit like that process. So the ink contacts the wood and then gets stamped onto the paper. And in doing that, it reverses. You know, if you think of your paid bills stamp, you know, and you mm-hmm. look at it, it says paid backwards. And then when you stamp it, it says paid frontwards. So it's just like that. I don't have a great explanation, I guess, about how that is. If it's something, you know, if I'm actually carving letters or something really specifically non-reversible, then I'll do it front ways first, either by pencil or computer, and then trace it with carbon paper onto the wood so that I can see a line that's, mm-hmm. you know, been understood. And I once in a while hold them up in the mirror when I'm working too. And it's surprising, even with a landscape or something, that right to left or left to right changes it. Mm-hmm. It's a different sense. I think we're dominant in the left to right direction. Somehow because we read, we have a different sense mm-hmm. of direction that's left to right than we might otherwise. My theory.
Yeah, I have a left-handed sister and everything is different with her, so who knows how that all works. But now, was this book, as you mentioned, it's different. Is this more like a watercolor acrylic kind of process that I'm seeing there?
Well, what I did was print a black woodcut base for every page, and then I oil painted on top of that.
Oh, it's oils.
Mm-hmm. So it reveals some of the woodcut texture. And then And the oil paint is well, I used it fairly opaquely so that it covers a bright color. I enjoyed the bright color with this too. And there were some of the spreads had some carving, some pictorial carving as well in before I printed the woodcut. And some were just completely, just a solid underprinting.
You know, it's really the colors that grab you or that put you in that mood for whatever's on the page. And I mean, that must be something that you pick up from your travels out there when you're out in the bog or wherever you're traveling to process for a book like this.
Yeah, I think that sense of light is, which varies, of course, always, but just that, those glimpses of the light that hit something, those are what I would always wish to have the sense of on the page.
Do you also think about the target audience when you're working on the art, as far as what you're going to show? If it was a book for like 3-4 year olds, would you illustrate that differently?
I think so. In this case, one of the things that was an element was first getting the manuscript and thinking, well, this is a whole book about landscapes for kids. How the heck do we make that lively, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I thought that my first thought was, well, there needs to be a face on every page. Yeah. And then somewhere along the way, I got this little blip of inspiration thinking like, well, maybe there could be sort of a little host. And in this case, I picked a hermit thrush, little friendly little bird. And so this little bird appears all the way through, kind of as a silent narrator, or in my pictorial way of thinking, kind of the pictorial voice that might be telling the story or experiencing. So there's the little bird trying on the lady slippers.
I love that.
And playing with the bubbles, you know, that in my mind the bubbles turned into a little bit of a mystic orb, little point of mystery for this bird, Hermy. I kind of came to think of her as Hermy, the hermit thrush.
I saw one part of there where Hermy was kind of balancing some of those little bubbles on her, him or hers or his beak.
Yeah.
And you're wondering now, what's that? You know, and then you see a group of them clustered beneath the bog surface. And it's not clear, as you mentioned, it becomes kind of a thread through the book that's not, that's going to be a surprise at the end.
Well, that's what I hoped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were everyone else involved in the book was kind enough to support that added element.
You know, I think my favorite illustration was of the frog on the bottom of the page, who's kind of squashed down, and he looks like, I don't know what exactly he looks like, but he looks like he's ready to burst into song or something, suddenly get big and start to make noise, but he's just squatted down at the bottom there. And also you gave all through there, Phyllis is giving a lot of information about all the critters that are appearing in these wonderful illustrations that kind of flesh it all out.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I thought giving a, you know, just interesting bits, you know, not every single bit, but just points of interest, like frogs have antifreeze, and that's why they can kind of freeze in the mud.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was really cool to read.
Yeah, imagine that.
I learned a lot in that book. Good. I mean, like Buck was kidding about older kids, but I mean, this is completely appropriate for adults, I think.
Mm-hmm. I usually read the dummy book first. It's more fitting, but you know, it kind of explains too why sometimes early or late in the spring, when there's still snow on the ground, sometimes you can find a frog who's thawed out.
Oh,
which I have found, you know, at those time of year, and that must be just what occurs. The sun happens to hit where they are, and that happens.
It must be a slow wake up.
A very slow wake up, yeah. I hope. Otherwise, you don't want to thaw too fast. Yeah, I don't think, anyway.
Good point.
And how about the size of the book? You know, the name of the book, Big Belching Bog. it seems fitting that this book is rather large.
Well, it is. In fact, it surprised me in a way because I had suggested what was a little large for me, 11 by 11. And then when the proofs came back, it took me a little ways through to realize that they had made it 12 by 12. And it's nice. I work to the same size that it will be reproduced, but this, I think that little extra percentage really mm-hmm. makes it nice. And it's I know getting the real book was a surprise to me too. It's very substantial. It's a mm-hmm. it's a kind of a hefty.
Yeah, it grabs your eye.
Yeah,
right away. And the colors on the outside, of course, also catch. Mine is purple and green, and see there's the little white bubbles coming up, and there's old Hermie looking down at the title. it's very attractive. When is that going to hit the stores?
Well, you know, I think it's really out there. I just checked Amazon, and it's there. And in town, it's at Betsy Bowen Studio, Severson Gallery, Drury Lane, Birchbark Books are mm-hmm. places that I know. And I try to get everywhere and sign the books too, but I'm always happy to do it. And woodcut.com has a web store too. You can get it there and then for sure get a signed one.
I was wondering about when these books come out, about the marketing process. Are you going to be doing some traveling on book signings on this with Phyllis, or is this kind of Phyllis's thing to do, or how's that work?
Well, we're doing some things together and separately, which I look forward to. It'll be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Mostly the, you know, local-ish Cambridge. We're doing a little talk in Cambridge in early October and signing at the Red Balloon Bookstore in mm-hmm. in St. Paul. And I think Phyllis is doing one at the Wild Rumpus at some point in October. And I'll be at Sievertson's signing books on October 23rd, that Moose Madness weekend.
Oh, yeah. Crazy weekend.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's good. Or else the fly-by-night signings if you come over.
And that, of course, is at your own studio.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And can you describe, now some of the folks driving up here may not be aware of where your studio is. Of course, we all are.
We all know
but
it.
But can you describe to folks how to find you?
Yep. It's two blocks uphill from the corner of the highway that crosses Buck's Hardware Hank Spur Station and the drugstore mm-hmm. would be markers on that corner. So
turn right up.
Or in other words, three blocks straight up from Joins.
Okay. Yeah, either
Everybody
one.
Everybody knows that
if
one.
If you're all the way down on Main Street, it's three blocks. If you're on the highway, it's two blocks.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. there's a big steeple that looks great for pigeons.
Big white church.
Yeah, big
no,
white
the
church.
No, the pigeons are gone.
They are gone, yeah. And that's a good thing. Betsy, can you also give your website where people can look at all your work plus the new book itself?
Yes, www.woodcut.com.
You know, it's always so much fun to have you in the studio, Betsy. I'm glad you're able to come today and to see your work. And yeah, it's just great. And we want to follow up on all your work as it happens. So I hope that you'll keep traipsing into the Roadhouse so we can talk about it. And want to thank you a lot for coming here today.
My pleasure.